Anybody got the time?
Not quite 5 after.
Thank you. Leads into our subject matter for tonight. In Ecclesiastes. What's that?
I only looked because you asked. It wasn't like, you know.
You did good, Chris. You did good. If you would please, Ecclesiastes 3. We're going to do a little bit of mathematical calculations tonight. Does anybody need a device to do so, or are you able to do it with paper and pen? It's a simple equation. We will get to it in a moment, but it's very enlightening. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, first 8 verses, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born. Everybody here has been there. You're past that time. Some of you are way past that time. And a time to die. That hasn't happened yet. It's not yet. A time to plant. That's just around the corner. One more month of winter. We can start to dig and plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance. Not so much. A time to cast away stones. And a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. And a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. The good news is, on that note, that each of us here in the room will one day see what nations have hoped for and sought for how many millennia. There will be peace on earth and goodwill toward men, but only when our Savior and King reigns in the millennial kingdom. Now, I want you to think with me, please, at another passage of Scripture, Psalm 90, where we will find essentially in the 4th verse, the irrelevance of millennium past as we view it from today. And we're going to do a little bit of alteration here. I want to read at verse number 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, billions of years ago. I mean, hey, everybody says it. Doesn't make any difference. Game shows put it forth. The science community puts it forth. Theological community puts it out there. Everybody buys billions of years. And Christians buy it. Based on what misinterpretation comes out of the New Testament reference in 2 Peter, I think it is, where we find that there's a reference to an elastic period of time in which people use that to justify the billions of years. So a lot of people buy that worm and swallow it. However, before the mountains were brought forth or ever thou hadst formed the earth, and we're talking now thousands of years, okay, thousands of years. And the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. I want to just stop there for a moment. We look at that 4th verse, 1,000 years. If we were to change without the necessary heresy involved, but for study purposes, the word years to days, we might be able to best capture the interpretation of what Moses is writing here. It's worth saying this. It has been observed by many people that when it comes to lifespans of human beings, back from creation to, let's say, Noah's day and around there, people lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It was a normal lifespan. By the time, however, you get to Moses in his era, Abraham and the like, the lifespan then is pretty much what it is now, roughly 70, 80 years, give or take some, you know. And so whenever we think about it this way, we can look at verse number 4 and where it reads, 1,000 years in thy sight, the Lord's sight are but as yesterday. Not in our sight, but the Lord's sight. And yet with that said, the qualifier in the rest of verse 4 says, when it is past, which is to say that whenever we consider verse 4, there is the irrelevance of a millennium past, looking at it from the perspective of today. It came and it went like a shift, a work shift in the night. You start at midnight, you get off at 8 o'clock. At the beginning of that shift, it just seems like it's going to drag. But whenever you arrive at, say, 5:30 or 6, and it's a coffee break time, then we're ready to roll. And it doesn't seem like it was all that long. Now, we read on down through here. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Then in verses 9 and 10, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, here's the mathematical calculation I'd like you to do. If you have a pencil or a piece of paper, it just won't take a lot of paper, not a lot of lead or ink. Here's the calculation I'd like you to make. When we use the numbers that are given here in verse 10, 80 years, we calculate that to be how many years? All right, how many days is that? Give me a precise number. Because if you're coming up to your last one, it's important to you.
29,200, give or take.
No, I think you're generous, brother. I think you're more like 80 years there.
25,550.
Okay. 25,550. 25,550 days for 70 years. Okay? Now, the text reads, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. 25,000 years, 550 days, if you get to 70. Okay? What I want you to do is do a bit of calculation and tell me how many days you've lived so far. How many days have you lived? And then maybe if you really feel ambitious and you want extra credit on the test, come at it with months. How many months have you lived? You got to be precise now, because like I said, if you're coming down to your last one, it's very important to you. Think about time this way. Think about time. Think about how important it is to a man on death row who's scheduled to die at 1 a.m. in the morning. And as he's sitting there and he's all strapped up and he's ready to go and he's watching that clock close in on the bewitching hour, every second is precious to that person until it's expired. Every second. Now shut up, I'll let you do the calculation. I don't like people talking when I'm trying to figure either. How many days have you lived? If you want to round it off.
I have 25,430.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me do a little digitizing here. We have one number, you say 25,000 what? Chris?
25,000 to go.
How many have you lived?
25,430.
Dan's lived a lot more days. Dan, how many days have you lived?
About just roughly 26,000.
26,000. Okay. So you're on overtime.
I'm on borrowed time. 24,954.
24,954.
We don't want to hear yours.
5,110.
That's how many days you've lived. That's a lot of days. Well, we're going to get there. Because when you calculate how many days you've lived, and then of course curiosity, for me it did, I wanted to find out how many I got left. Okay. When I boil it down to months, I'm liking my months better than my days. Okay. But listen here. When it comes to this arbitrary supposition here in verse number 10, it's obvious that many people never make it to 70. And a lot of people go way beyond 80. The truth of the matter is, as the scripture says, that my time and your time are in God's hands every single day. Now, for sure, there's multiple places in the scripture that will share with us that God has indeed a precise day appointed that you will not pass. Don't make any difference what kind of medicine you're taking, or what kind of surgery you get, or what kind of vitamin supplements you eat. Doesn't make any difference. When you reach God's appointed day, you will not pass that day. You might say that life is a give and take arrangement. God gives it and he takes it at his discretion and according to his plan. Now, it's a tremendous thing when you think from Emily's point of view. She's parked at 5,110 days. And so, you know, if everything is standardized or normalized, you know, she's still looking the better part of 20,000 days or give or take. So you figure if I got that much time left, what's normal, natural human instinct generally lead to? When you look out there and I've got all this time left, what's the typical human being do? Procrastinate. Okay. But if, however, we were to adopt the idea personally in our service to the Lord, that we would covenant with God to live every single day for the rest of our lives as though it were our last day. Does that change the needle anywhere? Does that change it any? I'm going to live today like it was my last day. Now, see, presumption again enters in. Say, well, we're talking theory here and possibly. But it's not likely, not really likely that today's my last day, but who here knows? Is there anything, in the amount of days that you have left that you would really like to get done, as they call a bucket list, something that you've been wanting to do for a long time but just didn't get to it? Anything like that? Anybody you want to talk to?
Well, there's an opposite reaction. If you think this is the last day, you won't look for anything in the future, such as to the bucket list would be, well, what can I do in 12 hours and be finished, or 18 hours? And I wouldn't look to the next day and the next day and the next day, so I wouldn't have a project looking forward. You can have as much waste on that end as you would on the other end.
Yeah, but you know, like for example, somebody came to me and said, "You got 12 hours left." I could be a fatalist and say, okay, I'm done. I'm cooked. Put the fork in it. On the other hand, the fork is very suggestive. Okay, I'm gonna visit about 3 Italian restaurants and I'm gonna eat everything on their menu. And then when I'm all done with that, I'm gonna chase it down with a deluxe pizza. And I'm gonna be eating to the very time I close my eyes.
That's why you're in time, you'd be killing yourself.
I told you before that nobody's going to get out of here alive except for one event. Nobody. And so you might as well figure on going happy. Okay, what is it that makes you happy? Well, if you're down to your last 12 hours, I mean, if that's how close it is. By the way, do we find in Scripture anywhere where God actually gets next to a person and lets them know in advance? Tell me what the name of the guy was in What's the guy's name in Daniel chapter 5? What's his name? I can't think of the, he's a, huh? Was it him? Nebuchadnezzar? No, Daniel chapter 5. There's the, Hezekiah was one. He, by the way, Hezekiah got, how many days did Hezekiah get added to his life? Huh?
Are you thinking Belshazzar?
Belshazzar. Is there anything in there that God informed him about in the prophecy? Anything there? What was it exactly that's told him? Help me out here. What's that?
You've been weighed and found wanting.
And then there's something else that puts a nail in it, in that, right after that.
Tonight.
What? Tonight what?
Tonight's the last night.
Okay. Let's put it this way. Belshazzar was advised that his time had run out. Hezekiah, on the other hand, was informed that he was going to get 15 more years. Okay? Peter was advised when he told his followers there in 2 Peter 1 verse 4, there he uses a word, shortly. He said, I must shortly put off this my tabernacle. And he knows that because God told him that. The Lord forewarned him, shortly you're going to put off your tabernacle. Your tent's being folded. Okay? And it was also, if you really want to press this, think about Moses, on the other hand. Okay? Moses had big plans to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And the best he could do, by the grace of God, was to go have a look at it, but he was not permitted to lead the people there. So, imminent for Moses was his demise. And he knew that. And in order for the new leader to step into the scene, he had to step out. And it was God's determination that he would die there. When we think about the truth of the matter, the psalmist, Psalm 31 verse 5 says, my times are in his hand. My times are in his hand. When you get into, there's a couple, three passages in the book of Job that are very specific about, with specific wording about God's parceling out of time. For example, in Job 14, verse 15, he uses the word determined. His days are determined. My years, my days have been determined by God. And as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, there's a time in the plan of God for each purpose of God. And a whole grocery list of those things are there for us. And of course, one of the famous benedictions, funeral benedictions that's offered by the scripture is there found in Job chapter 1. I think it's Job chapter 1 where, you know, after Job suffered the catastrophic losses that he did, family and his wealth and all that, and his own personal health, he just utters these words. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the Lord gives, he takes. Blessed be his name. And so whenever we think about our time, if everything were cookie-cuttered, where God would determine that once you get to 70 years old, you're 25,550 days, as you're approaching that time, you got to be thinking, well, what's next? What's next? If, on the other hand, there's a little bit of elastic, there's an elastic clause in here, that 70 on the near side, 80 on the far side. And by the grace of God, beyond. It is to be noted too that whenever you read about longevity in the Old Testament patriarchs, when we're talking hundreds of years of time, I might be wrong, but I don't see any of those people living anything but healthy, robust, productive lives. Up to the end. Far different today, even for people who arrive at 95, 100, 105 or more. There are exceptions to everything, but typically it's not that way. Either the mind is blitzed or something, or the body is broken when a person reaches that point in their life. And yet in each case, we must understand that it is the sovereign God of heaven and earth, the creator, who is in control of every minute of every day of your life and mine. Just when or how or why is not for yours or for me to reason why. Jesus, with wisdom, when he was being peppered by his followers and by his adversaries as well about the kingdom, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's not for you to know. And so if you think about it that way, we look at the calculation here in Psalm 90 in verse number 10, and we praise God for every day that we've been allowed to live thus far. For anything extra that God permits, we thank him in advance for all of that. And at the same time, when we finally reach the end, should be able with a grateful heart to look back and thank God for all that he has allowed us to experience in that life. And so the thought, the lesson to apply tonight is, what do I do with what I have left? If we use this calculation, what will Emily do with the 20,000 days, give or take, that she is allotted? What will you do with the mere days or weeks that you have, or the months? I've calculated out that I've got about, on an optimistic side, 5 months left, according to this number. And if I make it there, good. If not, it doesn't get better. The if not doesn't get any better for the child of God. Do you agree with that? So we have that to reckon with. So I would just ask you to take this with you. There are two places in the scripture that I'll leave you to dwell on. One in Ephesians and chapter 5 and verse number 16, and Colossians 4 verse 5, which is this. With regard to time, the scripture counsels us to redeem it. Redeem the time. Buy it. Buy up every minute that you may walk in wisdom, especially toward them who are without. Do you realize that, and I just read this on the way in tonight, I'm trying to think who was the author. I guess it doesn't make any difference. It's not mine. Is that time is like a daily treasure of which there are many robbers and thieves. And so we must guard the time. Gives a sense of redeeming it. Don't let the thieves steal what you've got left. And inasmuch as we live and move and have our being because of him, we owe what we have left to him in the best way possible in service. Would you pray with me? We thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given us. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for your blessings in that. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might, rather than trying to frantically make up for lost time, realize that what's past is past. And now, dear Heavenly Father, help us to focus on what's ahead and to capitalize on every opportunity in the time remaining. For Jesus' sake, amen.